Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. My name is Gemma, and joining me this week for this special episode is my good friend Trev. Welcome back, Trev.
Hi, Gemma. I am stoked to be here.
Thank you. Me too. And why is it a special episode? Because this happens to be our 50th episode. We're very excited. We've been doing this for 50 weeks now. So congratulations, Trev. And Kirk is not here this week, but thank you, Kirk. And Justin and Katie, who join us occasionally as well. Yeah, it's been a fun ride, and I'm looking forward to the next 50.
Absolutely. And we've had, you know, special guests too, you know, on a couple episodes, yes, which is always great. And, you know, really the biggest congratulations is to you, Gemma. This could have easily, you know, there was that transitional period. This could have easily fallen by the wayside, but you kept it going. So this podcast is your baby.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun. I love chatting to you and Kirk week to week and everyone else who joins us along the way. Yeah, it's a highlight of my week, and I hope listeners find enjoyment from it. We did get a really nice comment a couple of weeks ago. Someone said, thank you. They found this podcast and they were glad they found it because it was nice and chilled, which, you know, we do read all the comments. We love hearing from you. So if you are a listener and you do enjoy the show, please do let us know and reach out, ask any questions. We will attempt to answer them on the show as well. Yeah, but it's a fun time, and we love talking. We're huge Nintendo fans, in case you can't tell, and that's why we get a kick out of doing this every week. So, yeah, and this week we have a lot to talk about on our special anniversary show. We have Mario vs. Donkey Kong, of course, that we've been playing. We've got the new Peach trailer to talk about, a few other little bits and pieces in terms of news and games we're playing, plus our usual Switch 2 rumors of the week. And I'm excited to bring that up because I know it relates to something you said a few weeks ago, Trev, which would be cool.
Yeah. Look forward to it.
Yeah. But it's been a big week for Nintendo news in general. I just feel like people have been, and I was saying this to you before the show, there's just been so much chatter online about a lot of different topics. And one of those is Princess Peach and Princess Peach Showtime, which is coming out in around about a month now, March the 22nd. And Nintendo dropped a new trailer, just last week with four new outfits and abilities. Have you had a chance to check this one out?
I did. I thought it was a great trailer. You know, it really kind of showed off, I think, what the game's going to be. And for a game I was mildly interested in, I think I'm more excited for it now. I thought each of the new outfits was great, not just in terms of, you know, how they play, but even like the aesthetic touches that accompany them. I thought it was really cool. I mean, we'll probably talk about each of them, but it's certainly a good job, Nintendo. You got me more excited for a game that maybe I wasn't terribly excited about.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And I've just noticed, you know, like I said, there's just so much talk about Peach now online. It seems like a lot of people feel the same way. They're getting really excited. It's almost like, because we've had a few trailers now, and this one almost pushed people over the edge in terms of excitement. I don't know if it's the new abilities or just the fact that there are now so many abilities, and the gameplay looks to be quite varied thanks to those, you know, outfits. So this time, you know, we were given the figure skater, and they're quite different, right? So we have, you know, a figure skater Peach who, you know, dances around the ice and looks really cool.
You know, so the pretty too. It really,
they really are. Yeah, Peach. You know, she deserves this special treatment, and I'm glad it's not just, you know, when they announced this game, and it was very light touch. I think when they announced it at the end of that direct last year, wasn't it? And it was just like, there's a Peach game coming, and it was very like a tease, wasn't it?
Yeah, you couldn't really even tell like the style of game it was. Mm-hmm. I feel like with these new outfits, you kind of get a more of a sense of the general flow of the game.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm loving the theme, you know, of, you know, a theater, and obviously each of these outfits is like, well, it's like being an actor, I guess, right? You're playing a part. And so Peach gets to play these roles in the game. And did you notice in the trailer though, I don't remember which outfit it was. Maybe it might've been the Dashing Thief, which looks like she can, you know, move really quickly and sneakily, or it might've been the Mighty Peach, but I think it was the Thief one, where she's like jumping, almost like a platforming style. It reminded me of Mario 3D World a little bit. She's jumping up and kind of ninja. She's kind of ninjaing across like up levels in a platforming kind of sense, but like in this 3D-ish environment. I don't know if you remember seeing that, but I saw that and it kind of stood out to me as like, huh, it looks like there's going to be more than just, it could have looked like a mini game situation, like with the patisserie Peach that we've seen, where she's decorating a cake. That sort of looks a little mini game style, but it looks like it's really varied in its style and its gameplay. Did you notice
Yeah,
that one? Yeah.
I think so. I like that. It almost like she had like when she was pulling herself up, almost like one of those like Bionic Commando type arms. Like I don't know what the thief terminology is, but I got to think back to the cat burglar episode of The Simpsons there. But no, it was cool, and I love like just the look of it, like with the kind of city background and. And the funky music is like, yeah, it just, it's, I tell you, for, last week I talked about how like I was sort of underwhelmed by the demo of Mario versus Donkey Kong. This trailer really, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but it impressed me. And, it's a nice rebound effort, I think.
And I'm glad because this is, we've got Nintendo's been giving us a fair bit of love recently in terms of Mario versus Donkey Kong. We've got Paper Mario at some point this year, Mario RPG, but they're all revamps of classic games, even though I know we did have Mario Wonder as well. But this is kind of, Nintendo's only first party new title that we've got in the works at the moment. So it's a big,
That we
it's a big
know of,
shot
yeah.
that we know of. Yeah, exactly. And it's relatively big for them. And, I think they have to kind of convince us because it's different. It's not Mario and it's not even Luigi. It's not even a series that we've had before. It's not Paper Mario. It's not anything. It's completely new, which is great. But obviously that does take convincing a little bit for people, and it seems like they're doing well with that, with their marketing. So, and I think I have to say my favorite of the new outfits is the Mermaid Peach. She just looks so cute and adorable. And I guess like I just like mermaids. I've always liked the Little Mermaid as my favorite Disney movie. And she just looks great.
Really? I didn't know that.
And I don't know how it's going to work. Again, she's, in a different scene. She's underwater this time. Does the theater flood or is it all props? I don't know. But, it's another varying style of gameplay that looks super fun.
Yeah, and I
So, yeah.
wonder, because like the figure skater and the dashing thief, they look like they're more speedy. The mermaid, I have to imagine, is a little more slower paced and methodical.
And you.
You can kind of get that sense just from listening to the music, kind of that chill underwater vibe. So I think it's going to be good variety.
Yes. Oh yeah, definitely. And yeah, the music, it's, I mean, yeah, I know you always kind of notice the music, which is really cool because yeah, it does sound, just from the trailer, it really does sound quite nice. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how it turns out, the full game. Do we know, was this built in-house? It wasn't like one of those things where Nintendo, it's their IP obviously, but then they sometimes get a third party to help them develop it. Do you know
Oh,
if that's the situation with this one?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. I guess we'll find out maybe as it gets, even closer to release, but it certainly, from appearances, seems to have that first party polish, so.
It does. That's what I was assuming as well. But yeah, I wasn't sure. We can find out. That's okay. Yeah, so that's really cool. Mighty Peach was the fourth one. So we've mentioned the first three. So Mighty Peach is like a superhero kind of character. I just, and I, they're so different. They're so.
Yeah, it looked more like a shoot 'em up. Peach is the ship.
It's certainly given a lot of depth to Peach's character. She's and she has changed a lot, even just with the Mario movie. She was given more of a heroic kind of stance. She wasn't just letting Mario rescue her. She was leading the way almost, right? So it's really cool that she's not just this Peach, this princess trapped in a castle like she used to be in the 80s. She's really come into her own, and this game will hopefully solidify that kind of thing. And it seems like, yeah, there's just a lot of fans on the internet who just love Peach, which is great. So now we just need a Daisy game for me. It would be
And
cool if
Gemma,
it
you
was two
said
player,
Mermaid
actually.
was your favorite. I gotta say, I didn't notice a belly button. Do you think that's a an oversight, or do mermaids have belly buttons?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Because I remember they made a big thing about Mario when he was shirtless, I think. Like, did he not have, like, nipples or a belly button or something like that? So, fair is fair. Where is Mermaid Peach's belly button?
Yeah. Maybe it's an unspoken rule about cartoon characters not having belly buttons. It's, like, a little bit too real, you know?
I don't know. I seem to remember in Mario Odyssey, she showed up in, like, a bathing suit and a sarong setup, and I'm pretty sure she had a belly button then, so.
Oh, okay. Unless the fishtail portion was a little bit higher than where the belly button would be, maybe.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Did the
Little
Mermaid have a belly button? I don't remember.
I feel like her fishtail part was pointed, wasn't it, at the top?
You know, I haven't seen the movie since I was a kid. I don't know. I did have a good NES game, though.
Oh, did it? I never played it. No,
it was an easy game because, you know, it was geared for kids, but Capcom, is one of their Disney games. They did good work.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's pointed down. I was wrong, but I don't think she has a belly button. So maybe that's just too weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't look like Little Mermaid does, at least. Yeah. So maybe that's why Peach doesn't.
Interesting. I learned something.
Yeah. Well, I like to say that on the show we ask the tough questions, such as last week. So
that's the tough question. From Laura's triangles to Peach's belly button.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. But another, did you have anything else to say about Princess Peach Showtime at this point?
No, I'm just excited for it now. And like I said previously, I had mild interest, but now it's transitioned to excitement. I'm really looking forward to this one in about a month.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I really do think it's tipped people over the edge with that latest trailer. I think a lot more people are on board now, so that's cool. So yeah, we'll see. I don't know if there'll be any more. Well, it's only a month away, so we'll see if there's any more information before then. That rumored direct hasn't happened, so there may not be one.
Did they say something about a partner direct or something?
Yeah, I did see something about that. Yes, I'm not even sure what that is. Or
I know it's not what we were hoping for, but you know, better than nothing, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, the other thing, I guess one of the other characters that we've been talking about recently is Donkey Kong. And obviously we've got Donkey Kong, Mario vs. Donkey Kong to talk about later as well. But I did notice that Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze celebrated its 10th anniversary last week on the 13th of February, which I thought was really cool and kind of shocking that it's 10 years old and there hasn't been a new Donkey Kong game since then. I think a lot of fans are clamoring for one. Were you a fan of Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze?
You know, it seems like 10 years, you're right. It seems like forever since I played that on the Wii U. And I mean, even the Switch, like, I feel like this was kind of an early port. Like, I know they added Funky Kong or whatever, but you know what blows me away, Gemma?
What's that?
I actually looked this up on the Switch. Tropical Freeze has sold over 4.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you add that to the over 2 million on the Wii U. Why is this game not like why does the Switch not have a Nintendo Selects line? Because on the Wii U they did. You could get Tropical Freeze for 20, but I think on the Switch, I think it's still full price.
It is. Yeah, it is.
After 10 years. And
yeah, I know.
You know, almost 7 million sold. I think it's earned its Nintendo Select status or Player's Choice status, greatest hits, whatever they want to call it. I think in the twilight of its life, the Switch really needs to get some of these games that label on it. And there's been rumors about that, right? Because certain first-party games haven't been restocked or are going out of print. So maybe Tropical Freeze will get one last shot in the arm while we wait for a new Donkey Kong game. I don't know.
That would be good. And I don't know if you were on the show a few weeks ago when we were talking about sales, because it was on sale, actually. And I almost picked it up, but I had to decide between that and Sea of Stars, and I did pick up Sea of Stars. I want to pick up Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze on the Switch, but not full price. So.
I know it's so hard to justify picking up a game that you already have on Wii U. Like for the longest time, I held out off Mario Kart. You know, I just cashed in some gift cards, but it's like I already own this game. Yeah. Same thing with like Mario 3D World. So even though there's content, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I did pick
plus,
up
I guess,
those.
to also the fact I played Donkey Kong Country Returns probably more than Tropical Freeze, so I don't have as much maybe memories, but I feel like an outright brand new game is always going to win out over a port.
Yeah.
Unless it's Zelda, exactly. Maybe.
True. So I'll continue to watch for a sale. I know there was another big sale. Oh, maybe it's only in Australia. There's a huge sale happening at the moment, but it's not first party. It's indie games, I believe. It's just so many titles. Hundreds of titles are on sale. So I'll keep an eye out for Tropical Freeze again. Can you hear all those animals in the background?
I cannot, but I have heard them before.
Yeah, I'll cut that out. I know I just shut the door because the dog was going in and out, but
leave it in. Pure Nintendo Unplugged. We're raw.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, but no, I'll keep an eye out for that. And I think, you're exactly right. There should be a collection, a series, a special collection. Sorry, what do you call it?
Oh, like the Nintendo Selects lines, which they have done for like the million sellers. I feel like, you know, people like us maybe who don't want to pay full price for Wii U games, if they drop this to 20, I could justify it. I'd be like, hey, now I can play it in handheld mode.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. Anyway, so 10th anniversary, which is pretty cool. And we've seen so much of Donkey Kong lately. I do feel like he's going to appear again soon. You know, Donkey Kong, there's the Donkey Kong ride at Nintendo World. There's the Mario vs. Donkey Kong, of course. He was in the movie. This is now 10th anniversary. So there's been a large gap for gaming. So he's due for something. And that's why there was a rumor recently that maybe he'll be in the next kind of big Mario game or something like that. I don't know. But I think we'll see him again soon. I think in the next kind of year or so, maybe for the Switch 2, who knows? But I think he's due.
You know, there's so much potential, like we've had like the Donkey Kong Country games and the Return games, but like Donkey Kong 64, imagine what they could do, like an open world kind of 3D Roman Donkey Kong with the Switch or with the Switch 2, you know? Because on the N64, that needed like, what was that little red cart you plugged into it to give it like more RAM?
Yeah. Because it was 60, was it 64? For memory or something,
it was like that expansion pack, like you had to play it with that. Imagine what they could do if they took that type of formula, that collectathon 3D type of thing, and just applied that with, you know, HD visuals and modern gaming touches. That's what I'd like to see, honestly, because I feel like that would really feel fresh.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't done a collection, actually. You know, they like to bring things back, you know, as you were saying, from even just from Wii U to Switch, which, you know, probably is because otherwise a lot of those great games were wasted on the Wii U. But even, you know, bringing back Mario vs. Donkey Kong, for example, or Super Mario RPG, they don't tend to bring back Donkey Kong titles, do they? Like, they could easily do a Donkey Kong trilogy or something.
You know, Donkey Kong 64 is going to be 25 years.
Wow.
Because it came out in 99. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Yeah.
Insane. Yeah,
definitely overdue. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully. I mean, there's a lot of Donkey Kong love out there, fans, of course. So I'm sure he'll be back at some point in some capacity.
Voiced by Seth Rogen.
Is that is he the new voice of Donkey Kong? Just sounds like Seth Rogen, really, doesn't it? But he said that. He's like, I'm not putting on a voice. I'm just doing Seth Rogen. If they want that, then that's what they'll get. So he was, but speaking of the Wii U, it was trending during the week. Did you notice this?
I did not. I actually, when I saw this in the notes, I kind of was looking to figure out why. But no, I missed it. I really haven't been on Twitter. I'm trying to get Blue Sky going. So maybe that's why I missed it.
Yeah. I think there were a few reasons. One, it kind of leads to the next point, which is it's more about some other companies, actually, a little bit. But it was interesting because the Wii U, you know, people were talking about it. They were sort of comparing it to Sony because Sony announced that their PlayStation 5 is in the kind of latter phase of its lifespan. Like, it's kind of ending, ish, if that makes sense. And then everyone was saying, oh, the PlayStation 5 is like the Wii U, you know, as in it's underperforming in terms of sales or whatever, and it's being wrapped up a little more quickly than a usual console life cycle. But the Wii U, like the comments I was reading, they seemed quite positive, and it was a lot of nostalgia for the Wii U, and it made me think, is the Wii U now, is it like, I don't know if this is a good comparison, but it reminded me of how the Star Wars prequel trilogy was kind of panned at the time, especially the first one and maybe the second one. And now it's like all these kids who grew up with it are like, oh, I love The Phantom Menace because that was my childhood movie or whatever. You know what I mean? And now it's like all these people who have grown up with the Wii U, you know, kind of have this nostalgic love for it. And it's like the Wii U. And it was kind of getting these props, you know, which we talk about as fans of Nintendo, that the Wii U was kind of underappreciated, right? Like, it wasn't a bad system. It had some really good games on it. It was just marketed terribly. It was just interesting to see that kind of, I don't know, slant on it. And I'm like, huh, the poor Wii U, you know?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, if the Wii U had sold 50 million or whatever the PS5 sold, I mean, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
I would have taken that. But yeah, I don't know. I will say, though, I love The Phantom Menace, and
yes.
I was a lonely voice for many years, so it's nice to see people starting to come around to that after the latest trilogy, and they're like, hey, you know, maybe I miss George Lucas after all.
Yeah, maybe it is that. Maybe it is. It's like, huh, actually, it was better before. A bit off topic, but apparently The Phantom Menace is celebrating some kind of anniversary this year as well. Is it 25th maybe as well? Was it 99? They're bringing it back to theaters in May, apparently.
Ooh,
yeah,
I'm
which I hope they're doing
it.
I know it's in the US. I hope they're doing it in Australia. I haven't checked that out yet, but I really want to take my son because he's a huge Star Wars fan, but of course he's never seen them on the big screen because he was too young. So I'm really hoping to do that. So yeah.
I saw that multiple times in the theater. That's how
I remember being so excited because I grew up with Star Wars, but not at the theater as well, because they were already out when I was around when I was a kid. So I watched them on video, you know.
Oh yes, same. I was, you know, I wasn't even alive when the first one came out, and then
exactly.
Like a fetus
same.
When the second one came out.
So seeing The Phantom Menace on the big screen, like a new Star Wars movie, was awesome. So, and that's why I'm excited. And I know this is completely off topic, but when they bring out some new Star Wars movies that, you know, my son hasn't seen at all, like he's seen The Phantom Menace, but just not on the big screen. But when they bring out a new Star Wars movie and I can take him to the movies and see it, that's going to be super exciting for both of us, I think. Anyway, just let
us know. So the Wii U is the Phantom Menace of Nintendo consoles.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it is that. Yes, that's my comparison. Yeah. Do you agree? What do you think?
You know, I really like the Wii U. In some ways, I actually like the Wii U better than Switch, just not overall, but certain elements about it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, even though so many of its best games have been ported to Switch, there's still some games you can only play on Wii U. Nintendo Land, great game.
Mm-hmm.
Xenoblade Chronicles X, Paper Mario Color Splash, like Star Fox Zero. There's still quite a few Wii U like first party games that haven't been brought over, either because they can't, because there's no gamepad, or you know, just for whatever reason. So mine's still hooked up. I haven't played it a ton recently, but it's still hooked up, and I have a lot of great memories, you know, playing like Mario Maker on that. And
yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly. I loved it. Mine's still hooked up as well. They had those NES Remix titles on the Wii U as well, didn't they?
Yes.
So Wii U? Yeah.
They were great. Gemma, I've said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it till it happens, but there's so much potential for that idea that they could bring back either another NES Remix, an SNES Remix, N64 Remix, like little snippets of games. And it's just a great way to introduce younger players to these classics too. Like we were talking about demos last week.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might be like, oh, I don't know if I want to play Mario 64. The camera's clunky. Well, here's some little mini challenges. Get a feel for it. And then if you like it, check out the real game. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. They were so good. They were so cool, so fun and different and quirky, but but nostalgic at the same time, and also introducing new players. They were so good. So yeah, I don't know what happened to them, and I don't know why there aren't more. Because they were brilliant. Yeah.
They could bring out multiple versions for every system they've ever done, except maybe the Virtual Boy. And
oh yeah. That would be hard.
They'd be million sellers.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, exactly. Oh, let's bring those back for sure. Can we make a petition? I don't know. Yeah, I definitely heard people talking about that as well online semi-recently. I know that we're not the only ones who want more of those remixes. So hopefully, I guess, you know, Nintendo's probably got a whole, I imagine a wall in the head office in Kyoto of ideas. I don't know why it's a wall in my head, but it's a wall with sticky notes or something, right?
Not probably a blackboard or whiteboard.
It's probably way more advanced than that. It's probably like not even an Asana board. It'd be some fancy Nintendo system that they use. But anyway, in my head, it's a wall, and they've got all these ideas, and they move them around, and like the remix is there, but it just hasn't made it to the front of the line yet. They're just like, no, we've got Princess Peach Showtime first. We can't do remixes. I don't know.
It would be a good game, though, for like the end of a system's life, because you wouldn't have to invest like a ton of resources, right? Because you have the existing games, the existing sprite work or whatever. And it's just, you know, implementing challenges into a framework you already have. So I feel like it would be a lower investment, but potentially a high return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah. Well, we'll keep dreaming and fighting the good fight to get it. Not that we have much influence in Nintendo, but we can try. Yeah, and I mean, just to close off this news segment with Nintendo being kind of such a hot topic this week, you know, we don't tend to talk about other consoles so much, but this was news that Microsoft is putting some of its titles onto Nintendo and Sony consoles, which a lot of Microsoft fans or Xbox fans were quite upset about, from what I could see. And I think they did end up listing the first four games that were doing this. And I guess it's to try to save the company in terms of money, because obviously, you know, in the console wars, Xbox is kind of losing that. It's not a battle, but you know what I mean? They're the lowest of the three, right? In terms of sellers. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. It doesn't mean, will they be moving towards kind of what Sega ended up doing, which is just making games? You know, Sega used to be in the console wars, and now their games are on Nintendo systems, which, you know, is very ironic for a 90s kid who went through the wars. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it doesn't really.
I'm of multiple minds. I'm excited, first of all, because I haven't owned a Microsoft since the original Xbox. I haven't done any of the follow-up, so. These games will be new to me. I can understand people being upset losing an exclusive, but at the same time, if you've had these games for, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, you've been playing them and having fun, and Nintendo players haven't. So
that's true.
I feel like I like having the competition just because it drives creativity, but I don't really know Microsoft's, you know, how much profit they pull out of Xbox. I know in Japan they really don't have much of a presence compared to Sony and Nintendo. I feel like if they targeted that market, you know, they'd probably be doing better. But well, that's neither here nor there. I'm excited for whatever games they bring, because there'll be new games for me.
Yeah, this is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. So I mean, it's good. It's good in a way, and I think they're just testing the waters. And if they do well, maybe they'll do more. It doesn't necessarily mean the end of the Xbox, I don't know. Who knows, right? I think, like you said, competition is healthy. I think, you know, if you only have one or two, it does make it a lot harder for creativity, although Nintendo probably will continue to be quite creative, I imagine. How would I feel if Nintendo's exclusives went onto another console? Probably not great.
I mean, I'm still mad that Xbox has the Rare games.
Yes, you know,
they have
exactly.
Rare Replay that has NES and 64 games, and you know, I want those. Yeah. So I get the feeling.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's a difference between bringing over an old game and then bringing over like a killer app. It shows you how dated I am using that expression, but you know, they're not going to bring over a game that's a system seller.
Yeah.
But if it's a game that's been on the market and has had the bulk of its sales already, what do they have to lose?
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. That's a good point. I think it's, you know, it's, if it helps them and it helps us, it's kind of win-win. So we'll see how it goes. But it was interesting. It was interesting news. And yeah, a lot of people were quite upset. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Yeah, it's an interesting time because, you know, like I said, you know, Sony's obviously looking at their next console. Nintendo's, you know, doing really well currently. They haven't always, though. Wii U is the case in point there. Microsoft's struggling with Xbox, the latest Xbox, especially in, like you said, Japan. It's a really interesting time for the consoles. And things change very quickly. The Switch 2 could be wildly successful or it could be a flop. You know, we've seen this happen before. So who knows?
That's a good point. And, you know, thinking about it, even when Nintendo struggled, like the Wii U was a struggle, but they had the 3DS, right? And to a lesser extent, the GameCube, you know, kind of struggled next to the PlayStation 2, but they had the Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. So their handhelds have kind of propped up the home consoles that have, you know, not been as successful. So,
yeah.
Like, although I guess you could argue Microsoft has other revenue. They're not just a game maker, but
yeah, that's true. Yeah. And Sony for that matter, I suppose.
Yeah. But I don't know how they break down like the profits by division or whatever, or that's well above my pay grade.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's interesting and we'll continue to see what happens. Who knows? You cannot predict the future. It's all up to the parties involved and the fans and how well things sell. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting, you know, couple of years, I think, especially for Nintendo fans as we wait for more news on the Switch successor. But anyway, I thought that was very interesting news. Yeah. But we'll move on to the games we're playing since we're kind of at the halfway point of the show. And the big one, of course, is Mario vs. Donkey Kong. And I am lucky enough to be reviewing this title, and I'm very excited about that, and I'll have my review up during the week. And so I've been playing it, of course, and I'm loving it. It is really, really good. It's is it what I expected? Yes. Maybe more so, but in a good way. So
better than the demo?
Much better than the demo, yes. I mean, the demo is fine, of course. It's just really short. It's just very, very short. It just gives you a very, very small taste. 3 levels, wasn't it? I think so. but you know how the format works. It's you know, multiple worlds, and in each world there are 6 playable puzzle levels, and then there's 2 kind of what are they, like, one's a boss fight and one's like a, I don't know, the one where you lead the little minis through.
Oh yeah, the mini one. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know what you call that. It's like a bonus level, I don't know. Excuse me. So essentially, world one opens up. You can only do the first level, I believe. Once you've done, and this is the case for every world, once you've done the first level of that world, all the levels unlock. So you can do them in any order you like, but you can't move on to the next world until you've done the whole world, as in you've beaten Donkey Kong. So each world features a little battle with Donkey Kong at the end, which is really fun, and that unlocks the next world. Of course, you can collect all the little extras in each level, which gives you a gold star. You don't need to do that to unlock the world, but of course, being a completionist, I do need to do that, so I do that.
I was gonna ask you, do you move on and then go back, or do you try to do it all in the first run?
I've been trying to do it as I've been going, except for the boss fight. I did come back because the boss fight, also you can get a gold star by not losing lives during the boss fight, and in my first one with Donkey Kong, I did lose a couple of lives. So I went back and did it, but not until I'd finished world two. So, but as I go, if I miss a gift, you know, there's 3 gifts in each level. There's like the red, what is it? Yellow, red, and blue.
Yeah.
If I miss them, I'm like, cause like in one level I picked up the mini Mario, which ends the level. And then I'm like, oh, there's a present. I didn't get it. Dang it. Oh, I'll just go back and do it again. So while it's fresh in my mind. Yeah. I do like seeing those gold stars. Was I a teacher's pet? Yes, I was. Something about a gold
star. Did they do gold stars or did they do smiley faces?
We had stars. Yeah. Yeah, we had stars. Did you have smiley faces? That's cool.
You know, well, I seem to remember both. So I don't know. Maybe it depended by teacher or by year. I don't know.
Yeah, true. I'm sure we had stamps as well, like that had smiley faces. But the gold stars were the best. They're just the best. Yeah, these days they actually give out Yeah, it's different. They don't seem to give out gold stars anymore. They give out little boarding pass. They're called boarding passes. It's like, you've done a good job this week. Here's a boarding pass. You get to take it to Tuck Shop. Do you know what Tuck Shop is?
Boarding pass.
It's like,
That must be a local thing from you. I don't
yeah,
know.
I think it's a local thing. You get to take it to the canteen. I think that's probably what you call it. And you get like a free ice cream, which is kind of a little reward. It's like,
Canteen.
what do you call it? We call it Tuck Shop. So I don't know what you call it over there.
I'm not
Like
even
where you
sure
buy
what
food.
canteen is. I think a canteen, like what an army guy drinks out of.
Oh, well, what do you call the place where you buy food at school?
The
You know,
cafeteria?
you buy, okay, cafeteria. Yeah, that
Oh,
sounds
okay.
better. We call it Tuck Shop, so.
Oh, I kind of like that actually.
Yeah, it's very Australian. Anyone listening who is in Australia will know the term Tuck Shop. So, yeah. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, so it's really fun. It starts off fairly easy, I suppose, as in it eases you in. And if you play the demo, you'll know what I mean, because that's the first world, like three levels of the first world. Shows you the mechanics. World two is probably a little bit more complicated. You're in like a Donkey Kong jungle situation. There's vines, there's different enemies. And then by world three, things start to heat up. And I that's a pun because it's a fire world, but also it is tricky. And but fun. It's really, really fun. And so I've tried the casual mode, I've tried the whatever the normal mode's called. I've tried the two-player mode. My son and I have been playing. Two-player mode is really fun. It's very cool. You get to play as Toad as the second player, and you can do everything Mario can do. It's not like you're relegated to a second role. You can do everything Mario can do. You can
Oh,
kill
nice.
the enemies, you can pick up the keys, unlock the door, you can do whatever. You can switch the, you know, there's the switches that turn off the blocks. You can make the blocks go on and off. Everything. You can do it all. So Toad can do it all, and Mario can just sit and watch, or you can work together, whatever. Yeah.
Cool. I was
It's really
curious
fun.
about the two player
Yeah,
mode.
I was
Is it
too.
always the same color, Toad, or can you pick color?
No, it's just a red Toad, the traditional. Yeah, the original, the OG Toad. So yeah, he's in there. Yeah, you can't choose colors. But it's really easy to switch on and off. You just connect the controller and you can play. You can't do it during a level. I think you have to do it in the meant level select screen. But at any point in the game, you can also switch between casual and, again, I've forgotten the name. It starts with a C, but like the normal mode, you can
Okay.
switch between that at any point as well. So you can switch it on and off. The only real difference between casual and normal that I can see is at the time. Oh, well, sorry, there are a couple of differences, but the main difference is there's no timer in casual mode. So you don't have this countdown hanging over your head, this sort of threat of running out of time,
I see.
which as the levels get harder, that's pretty handy actually. So you also get to bubble, just like in the new Super Mario Brothers series. If you get hit, you become a bubble and you go back to the latest flag point. You don't have to restart. You don't lose a life. And you get five bubbles, I think, and then
Can
maybe
Toad
lose lives
pop
after
yet
that.
if you're in a bubble?
Yes. It doesn't quite work the same way with two player though, I think. But Toad can bubble, and Mario can bubble. Yeah. So you can do the bubble situation as well when you're two player, and you can bubble to each other. So if you're at the start and Mario's kind of moved on a bit and you don't want to jump over the fireballs or whatever, you can bubble to Mario. So that's handy.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really fun. I think I can see a lot of people, maybe like couples, like you and Jen might enjoy it. I don't know. Like just people who have, you know, a pair of people can just sit there and play it together and enjoy it, you know, because it's a bit, it's not easy, of course, but it's easier when there's two of you and the bubbles are there. It gives you a bit more reason to keep playing if you're not a gamer as well. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're a gamer and your partner's not, they would feel comfortable joining you because it's not, you know, it's not too difficult for them,
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Yeah. So
absolutely.
yeah, it's
Or,
going.
you know, if you're a
Yeah.
parent and like your kid is maybe too little to be good at a game, but they still want to play.
Yeah, because there are some tricky jumps, you know, and Mario and Toad do this cool little acrobatic jump where you can sort of handstand and backflip, and it gives you a higher jump. So there's a few little tools in Mario's belt that help you get through, and they're not hard to pull off, but we did die a fair few times in the fire world. We started to die. And at the very beginning, actually, I'll just say this before we move on, but in the very beginning, so as you're playing through, randomly one of the worlds you've completed, sorry, one of the levels you've completed, turns into a one-up mushroom kind of icon. And I was like, oh, what is that? And so you go back and redo the level, but it's different. And you just have to run around this little level and collect one-ups. and get this flying key and take it to the treasure chest, and you get 5 1-ups if you make it in time. You have 30 seconds to do this. So you can end up with like 8 or 9 lives from this one bonus level.
Wow.
And I was like, huh, I've got like 26 lives now. This game is so easy. I needed those lives later on. So don't be put off at the beginning of how kind of it feels kind of easy at the start. Like I said, it eases you in. And that's a good thing because you will need those lives later. So, yeah, the challenge ramps up. Yeah, it's super fun. And you'll love the music as well, Trev, because you love your music. The music really stands out. It's really nice. There's a few little Mario themes weaved in, which I really like.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. The graphics look lovely. It's really, really fun. It's doing really well. It'll get probably a very good review from me. I'm enjoying my time with it, so watch out for my final thoughts during the week. Did you have any other questions about Mario versus Donkey Kong for me?
No, it's definitely one I wasn't able to grab it on launch day, but I do have it in my wish list. So hopefully within the next few weeks. Although now that Princess Peach is looking better, I don't know. I got to decide, can I get 2 games in the span of a month?
Yeah. I don't know. And Princess Peach might come with some sort of pre-order bonus, maybe. I should check out the situation with that as well. Yeah. Ooh. Anyway. So it's going well. So definitely enjoying my time with Mario versus Donkey Kong. If listeners are playing it, let us know how you're finding it, what you think. I love that the boss battles are different each time as well. Like in one, you have to throw things at him. One, and you would have seen this in the trailer, you're kind of above him on some vines. You got to knock the fruit down to hit him, and he goes faster and faster. That's pretty tough, that one. So, yeah, each one seems different, which is cool. Keeps things interesting.
Nice. And thank you to our rep for getting us a press code. We never take those for granted. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. I'm very excited to be reviewing this one, definitely. So let's move on to something that you've been playing for the magazine, which is Sega Ages Phantasy Star.
What's happening with that one? So the issue, this upcoming issue brings back Switching on a Budget, which was a spread that we haven't had for a couple issues.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out how I wanted to structure it. You know, if I want to stick to the old style or try something new. And I'm like, what if we had a themed piece where I just look at some of these Sega Ages games? Because they're already, even full price, they're pretty, you know, budgeted. But they happen to be on sale, which was, you know, just a few bucks for these classic games. And I already had a couple. So I'm like, oh, I should probably pick up one more so I can have a trio of games.
Yeah.
So I picked up Phantasy Star, which I don't recall ever playing the original. I played the couple of the sequels on Genesis. And, of course, I was in an RPG mood coming off playing the pixel remaster of Final Fantasy. So this was a nice follow-up, a retro RPG. Of course, Kirk's not here to hear me talk about this, but a lot of fun. It's really impressive that this was an 8-bit game. It doesn't look like it. It really looks more like a 16-bit game in my mind.
Cool.
And what's really cool with the Sega Ages version is they have a built-in map. Because, you know, whipping out the graph paper and making mazes is something I associate with being a kid. But as an adult with, you know, responsibilities and schedules, that's not anything I can be bothered with. So that alone is just makes me appreciate the game in a way I probably wouldn't have been able to had I played it as a kid. It's a great little sci-fi RPG, like a science fantasy, you know, which is kind of stands out because most RPGs tend to be more fantasy. So to see like a lot of these like Star Wars type nods is so cool. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like I said, I picked it up to find a piece for the mag and now I'm just playing it for fun. So
cool. So was this a Master System title originally?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And eventually in life, I did pick up a Sega Master System, but not during its commercial life because you know, a little kid, you can only, you know, you can't be buying every system. So I had my NES and I just have to look at like screenshots of that in a magazine or something. But it was always striking looking and now being able to play it on Switch, is just something else. And yeah, I love the first person dungeons were so cool. You know, there really was nothing like it. So as a piece of history, it's cool. But even as, you know, a game on its own, I'm playing it for the first time in 2024 and I'm really liking it.
That's awesome.
And I'll probably, I probably want to revisit the other games after I'm done with it. Just so I can get the full Phantasy Star experience.
How many are there in that series?
Well, there's Phantasy Star 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. If I remember right, 3 is considered more of like a side story.
Mm-hmm.
So the first, second, and fourth are kind of like the trilogy. And then they delve off into like the Phantasy Star Online games, which were a lot of fun, but a very different style of play. So.
Wow.
And I think the Sega Genesis collection, I think, has the three Phantasy Star games on Genesis. They might be on online too, Genesis Online.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have that, so I can't check.
Is it overdue for a new entry? Why are they stopped making them?
That's a good question. And it might have something to do with them getting out of the hardware business.
Mm-hmm.
And just having to rely more on IPs that they know are sure things, like Sonic or something. So
yeah, true.
I don't actually know, but I feel like there is a market for like science fiction RPGs, because I feel like 90% of RPGs are straight like kind of medieval fantasy. So
yeah,
anytime exactly. I could see an RPG embrace science fiction, I think is. For me, it's great because that's my taste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's good they can cater to that because, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's no shortage of RPGs, that's for sure. But there is probably a shortage of sci-fi sort of based ones, you know, compared to the typical fantasy ones. Yeah, that's awesome. Would you say, is it difficult or is it medium? Like how does the difficulty rate?
Well, there are some tweaks you can make, but... Mm-hmm. A lot of these older RPGs have an initial grind. Like it's one of those games, the hardest bit of it's probably the first hour, just because you have to grind enough to build up your hit points. Once you get to a certain point and earn enough currency and, you know, you can start getting better gear, it actually probably gets easier, but you got to be willing to do the grind. That's kind of status quo for any old RPG. So.
That's true.
If you're not into grinding, give the controller to your kid and have them grind for an hour and then take it back.
It looks like it came out on the Game Boy Advance at some point as well. Is that true?
Yeah, they had it was a compilation cart. I think it had I think it had the first three. You're right, I'd forgotten about that, Gemma. That would be an awesome way to check it out too.
Yeah, that's cool. Very awesome. Yeah, well, thank you for that wrap-up. I think I look forward to seeing your article, which I'm the one putting it together, I guess. I will.
We'll see it before anyone.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to sharing that article with listeners and subscribers. So, yeah, that's awesome. I love the Switch on a Budget, even just the name of it, because it's obviously the Switch. So, Switching on a Budget. I just love the title. It's a good piece.
And I really want subscribers to help shape it, because it's been a while since we've had it. So if you like a themed piece, or if you want to see even more games, or you know, whatever format you'd like, let us know. You know, email us or reach out to us on social media, because we make the magazine for the subscribers. If it wasn't for you guys, there'd be no mag.
Yeah, 100%. That's true. Yeah, we'd definitely love to know. I mean, this is new being a theme, right, for us, but I love the idea of a themed piece. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Yeah. If it resonates with readers, then we'll continue. But, yeah, absolutely. And the other game that you wanted to give us a bit of an overview of was Disney Dreamlight Valley, which what's happening with that one?
Yeah. So this game's been out now for, over a year. And they've added a lot to it. You know, they always have. I don't know why people always call it seasons. It always sounded confusing to me, but like, oh, season pass, or here's season three or whatever.
Yeah. Like a TV show, I guess.
Yeah. I never particularly cared for that terminology, but whatever. Mm-hmm. The game is primarily being played by my wife, but we have taken turns and I've watched her play, and it's very much in those style of games we've kind of seen a lot of. You know, there's farming, there's fishing, there's decorating. So, you know, think like Animal Crossing or one of those, you know, life type games.
Do you control a Disney character doing those things, or is it like your own avatar?
No, you make your own avatar. There's a lot of customization options. And you interact with a lot of Disney characters. You know, Merlin, Mickey, Goofy, Remy from Ratatouille. Like, the list goes on. And, yeah, it's one of those games I could see really being a time sink. It's also one of those games that even a year on is still kind of buggy.
Really?
my wife has a knack for glitching games. I don't know what it is, but she's like, look at the character. It was kind of frozen and you couldn't walk. You were just sliding across the world in a frozen animation. Like, you couldn't even pick up anything. So we had to reset the game, and thankfully, you know, went back to normal. But yeah, it's still a work in progress. So, but it's a lot of fun. And I could see even, especially like, younger players, maybe people who are more associated with the Disney properties, could really get into it, because, you know, there's a lot of little touches that even I kind of got a kick out of, even though I'm not quite the Disney fan I once was. So,
yeah, exactly. I haven't been able to give it a go, but it's certainly an interesting idea. It definitely fits in with the theme lately of all these, you know, farming kind of titles, like you said. It's just so many lately. Remember that Direct last year where there was like farming sim after farming sim? It must be just really popular right now.
You know, awesome for people who love that. I've had enough of it, but at least this Disney game gives it its own flavor. I will just throw out a warning: if you're thinking of picking it up, there is a case, but unless they've updated it, the physical version just has a code in the case. So you're just paying to get a plastic case for your shelf, which, you know, to be fair, I don't mind having, because it helps me remember I own the game.
True.
Because a lot of times you have a big digital library. If the game gets buried, you forget about it. So,
yeah, that's true. Sometimes I'm looking for a game and I'm like, where do I haven't played it for a while. So you're looking through your list, scrolling through. Where is it? I can't find it.
And we review so many games. It's like, it quickly balloons in the hundreds.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. How many hours do you think you and Jen have sunk into it so far?
Probably not that many. Maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe 4 hours for Jen, maybe an hour for me. But,
Yeah.
You know, it's fun. It has elements I like. It sort of reminds me of the game like Yonder, the Cloud Kitcher Chronicles. You're cleaning up the world. Yeah. And as you clean up, like, it's not murk, it's like vines or whatever, you know, you open new areas, you're doing a lot of quests for the characters, helping them out, building friendships. So it very much feels like games I enjoy kind of blended together. So yeah, I'm glad to have it, even if I end up just watching more than playing it, because I do think it is one of those time sink games. And
yeah, definitely, yeah.
With review games, I can't afford to get too lost into games like that. At least old school RPGs, you know, with save points and whatnot, they're easy to jump in and out of. But
yeah, exactly. These ones are designed to be endless, so they're designed to go on forever and ever. You could literally play it. There's no end, right? You just keep doing what you're doing. That's it.
And there's content I can't access, because they keep, like I said, they keep adding content. So. It could be overwhelming, unless this is like your only game. If you just got a Switch and don't have a lot of games, could be a slam dunk for you. But
yeah, and is it free to play, and then you purchase missions or something? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so at least initially, I think it was like in a like an early access type thing. It was free to play. A lot of the content, or season content, they call it, you know, would be paid for. The physical one, or the physical case,
the box
has content included. And you know, you get like extra goodies, extra currency, so you can experience a lot more of it out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're impatient or whatnot. But
yeah,
I would probably suggest doing research on the game if you're looking to invest, because I suspect there's a lot of different like bundle type options. I don't actually know. It's just
You'd probably pick it based on which characters you like, such as the Little Mermaid, maybe. I don't know if she's in there, but I assume she would be. But you choose, you want to play with, I think there were like, aren't there like Monsters, Inc. people in there? And like you said, there's the people you mentioned earlier.
There's a lot of Disney, a lot of Pixar, which I guess is also Disney. And I don't know if there's a Little Mermaid. I have to imagine there would be. And if there is, I'll have to see if she has a belly button.
Yes, do some research. Yeah, cool. Well, I hope you continue to enjoy Disney Dreamlight Valley. It's I think it sounds like a nice game, like a family friendly kind of thing that, you know, obviously it's Disney, so, and it's using Disney's characters, Mickey, etc. They're not going to do anything.
It might be worth
terribly
doing some kind of write up on, because it has been over a year, and like we have a review of the original game, but the original game has changed so much. It might just be worth kind of highlighting some of the new things. So I'll have to see what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah, that could be fun. That could be really fun. Could be for the magazine maybe, or for the next issue, or could maybe be on the website. Yeah. Something to consider. Thank you, Trev. Well, let's move on to our final segment, which is our Switch 2 rumors of the week. And there was a huge one, which just kind of happened over the weekend, which is that, and I'm kind of jumping ahead in terms of our notes, Trev, sorry, but this was the big one that we've been talking about over the last kind of day or two that we've seen a lot of chatter online, is that there's rumors of a release kind of date, or not date exactly, but a release timeline or time frame, which is quarter one of 2025. And it's, you know, I'm going to say up front, this is all speculation. These are all rumors. We're just talking about it because it's fun. Nothing's been announced by Nintendo. And until they do so, yeah, just take it with a grain of salt. But this has come from several sources. And the reason it's so exciting, I guess, is because everyone thought it would come out this year, including me and Justin and Kirk, until Trev cleverly a few weeks ago, or even a month ago, said that you thought actually it would be in 2025. And it turns out, well, if this rumor is true, you could be correct. So that's interesting. Yeah. But I mean, you did convince me recently anyway, didn't you? Because it kind of made sense the way you put it.
Well, too, you know, you think about it, just looking back to like the Switch, you know, the Switch launched with Breath of the Wild. Great game. But like, I bought that game on Wii U. So for the first few months of Switch, there wasn't a whole lot. Like, I didn't end up getting the Switch till that summer when like Mario and Rabbids came out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I think for Switch 2, it makes sense that Nintendo would want to have a bigger library, you know, more choices. There's not going to be I can't imagine there'd be like a Zelda type game, but you know, the more games on offer, the more likely they are to appeal beyond the core Nintendo fan, who's going to buy a day one no matter what. You know, they're going after those other gamers. Mm-hmm. So I think it makes sense. And honestly, Gemma, I want to finally have a year where I best Justin with predictions. You know, the first year we did it, I think we tied. And ever since then, except for maybe the COVID year, which was a down year for both of us, Justin usually has the edge on me. So I think I'm due for a win.
I'm definitely. Definitely.
Justin's like the Harlem Globetrotters. I'm like the Generals. I'm due for my win.
You like Krusty the Clown betting on the Generals?
I thought the Generals were due. Yes.
Oh, love that. Yes. Well, you are due. General Trev.
It's all good. Honestly, fun. I mean, obviously, if it does come out this year, it's going to be exciting. So,
And Justin made good points that they didn't want to waste a holiday season, because, you know, if they announce it in May, for example, which is possible because the Nintendo recently said they're not going to talk about it until at least May, which is when they're going to talk about their next kind of fiscal year. So that might be when it happens. If they announce something in May, then obviously that's 11 months till March, if it comes out in March next year. That's a long time of waiting. Is that a long time also of people not buying a Switch because they're holding off for a Switch 2? But hardware sales are already in decline and people probably will still buy games because 11 months is a long time to not play games. You don't need 11 months to play, you know, probably Princess Peach Showtime. You'll get it in March and you'll enjoy it for a month, maybe two. I don't know. It depends how long it is or how slow you are at playing, but it's not necessarily something you need to play over a year. So people will still buy games, I think. I don't know. I'm also not a financial person, so I don't know how these things work.
You but haven't even upgraded to the OLED, Gemma, because you're waiting for
something. No, I know. Exactly. That's man, that's terrible, isn't it? I kind of regret it. The bigger screen, it does look cool. Kirk has one, so I have FOMO. But that's
do it now. Maybe I'll get a full year with it.
Maybe. That's true. Because, yeah, it's only February. We could make it a year. And then we'll have two Switches, and then that means the kids can, you know, use the old one, and I can use the new cool new one.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's tempting. It's also expensive, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so it seems logical, you know, the whole 2025 thing. I think Nintendo they have business analysts, they have financial people. They're going to weigh the pros and cons up and they're going to make the best kind of decision that works for them. But I love what you said because, yes, they need games. That seemed to be a bit of a problem. Even though the Switch has done extremely well, you know, there was a bit of a dry spell at the beginning. Mario Odyssey didn't come out till the end of that year or something, I think.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, I think we did have Mario Kart, though, relatively early. But still, yeah,
I mean, that was a Wii U game.
Yeah, that's true. It was a port.
And it didn't have all the new tracks that we've gotten since.
Yeah.
At the time, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. That would have been easy for them to get up and running quickly, at least. But still, no, not a new game. So maybe there'll be a new Mario Kart. Maybe there'll be a new Mario game, at least within the launch window, I imagine. Like you said, Zelda, maybe not. But hey, a 2D Zelda. I'd be happy with that.
Oh, man. I would love the top-down Zeldas are... I mean, I love all the Zeldas, pretty much, but...
Yes.
The top-down Zeldas are just... They're so replayable. Like, the 3D games can be so huge.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can play a 2D Zelda, you know, over and over and have fun, like, once a year.
Yeah. So I'd be happy with that, Nintendo, if you're listening. The other kind of rumor was that, and this was earlier in the week, that the Switch 2 will have physical and digital backwards compatibility and that original games can be enhanced, which was kind of, we'd heard about the physical, you know, the compatibility, the backwards compatibility, I think is quite important. And I do think Nintendo would go down that path because, hello, everyone has a Switch, right? So if you've got physical games, and digital, I'd love to be able to carry that across. But the fact that original games could be enhanced is interesting. So they take, I don't know how that would work, but basically if you plug in a Switch game into your Switch 2, what the rumor is saying is that it would be visually enhanced based on the capabilities of the Switch 2. I don't know. Have we ever seen that before in a system? I don't know how that works. How would you beef up graphics? Is that even possible?
I mean, is it like they improve like the frame rate? Like, I know that's a big thing with a lot of gamers. Like,
maybe, yeah.
You know, if something's at 30 FPS, could they bump it to 60 or?
Yeah,
or
maybe
just like going
like
from like 720 to 1080. I don't know exactly.
Oh, yeah, could be.
Load
I'm
times,
not sure
maybe.
Yeah, load times, definitely. I still find it funny that some games have such long load times. I always, if it's really long, I do try to comment on it in my reviews because I don't like waiting. And I don't think you have to wait if the game's done well, especially a little game. You know, like you can probably understand why Tears of the Kingdom has a small loading time when you're loading. What is it? When you leave a shrine, I think, and you go back to the overworld.
Yeah.
It's not huge. It's not like it's 30 seconds or a minute or anything like that. It's probably, what, 10 or 15 seconds. And it's like, it's got a nice screen. It gives you some tips and things like that, which at least it's something. But a game that just sits there loading for, I reckon 30 seconds is my threshold. Anything 30 seconds or more, and I have a clock next to my TV and I look at it and I'm like, yeah, that's 30 seconds. Well, that's too long. That's too long for me. I'm sorry. In 2024.
You have to think at that point that the game is just not optimized.
Yes. Well, yeah, exactly.
It's not that it's pushing the hardware. It's just not, you know, it's a sloppy port or whatever, you know, the case may be.
Yeah. And that's why I was happy with Prince of Persia, because I think they did really well on the Switch. They were similar to Tears of Kingdom, only very short loading times. Most of the time there were no loading times, but it was when it did happen, it was quite short, like 5 seconds or something. Yeah,
that was
a problem
with one of my last review games I did, Hidden Through Time 2.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a lot of issues with load times. Like there was a gimmick you could switch between like day and night or sunny weather, rainy weather. And I thought the Switch was like going to blow up when it was doing this. It was like chug, 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 chug.
Wow.
And I'm actually glancing through my review just to load up the game from when we hit the icon, took like, or when we get to the menu, hit 40 seconds.
Wow. Yeah.
Just to load up the game, not counting the in-game loads.
Jeez. And like, if you're, you know, if you're listening, 40 seconds may not sound long, but if you sit there and count for 40 seconds, like 1, 2, 3, like actual seconds, it's a long time to sit waiting. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's not nothing. It's something. And especially if you have to do it over and over again, that's when it gets really annoying. Yeah. Yeah. What was that game? Was it River City Girls, I think, that I reviewed a year or two ago from, was it Way Forward? And I was really looking forward to it because I love that company, but man, those loading times, and it happened all the time. It was so frustrating. Yeah. Really got to me, unfortunately. But anyway. So yeah, hopefully the Switch 2 can fix that is the short story. Yeah. Anything else you want to add on rumors before we close things off?
No, I'm just, whatever comes, whether it's 2024, 2025, I'll be excited for what, it's not even really the new hardware. I'll be excited for what the new games will be doing with the new hardware.
Oh yeah, totally. Yes, we will definitely be excited. Definitely looking forward to it. Hope you are too, listeners. If you have a rumor that you'd like us to mention that you've heard, send us a DM or email us. What's our email address, Trev? Is it
mail@purenintendo.com, I think.
Cool. Hit us up on Twitter or Blue Sky or Mastodon as well, and you can follow us on those channels while you're at it. And if you're on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. We're nearing 200 subscribers, which is super exciting for us. So thank you to all our subscribers and all our listeners. We really, really appreciate your fandom. 50th episode, as we said at the beginning. So thank you so much for joining us on this journey. If you would like to grab yourself a copy of our magazine, which we are currently wrapping up our latest issue, head on over to patreon.com/purenintendo and you can be on the list for the next issue. Thank you so much, Trev, for joining me for this special episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I'll just add for those who listen to us, you know, on Spotify or different podcast outlets, if you do want to join on YouTube, I just want to remind that Gemma really does put up a lot of nice clips, trailers, pictures to match what we're talking about. So it's another way to experience the podcast, and it's my preferred way. So. We love listeners no matter where you're listening, but consider checking us out on YouTube.
Yeah. Thank you, Trev. Thank you. And thank you very much, listeners. And until next week, game on, everybody. Bye.
See ya.